And today we're going to look at the subject of God's blessing, the blessing of God. And it's well too big a subject to try and cover it all. But hopefully by the end, we'll have a view of how we can live in God's blessing. I want you to know, whether you are yet a Christian or not, there is a blessing that you can receive from God. So if you're yet to live in it, then there's steps that you can take to live in God's blessing. If you're a Christian, that you can't just take it for granted that God's blessing's upon you. There are things that we must do to live in his blessing. And when we do, we'll know what it's really like to know his blessing. There's something that's been made popular this year through song. It's the priestly blessing from number 6. It's been sung all around the world. I've heard it in Urdu, English, in all different languages around the world, and it's been made popular. And the words go, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." The bit we don't sing is, "So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel and I will bless them." The kind of context of this blessing, the Lord's speaking to Moses to instruct Aaron and his sons to pray this blessing over the Israelites. The wider context is, before that, you read about the Lord speaking to Moses to speak to the Israelites themselves, some specific things that they had to get in order in their lives which would lead to blessing. I haven't got time to go into it all, but I'll give you a couple examples. Confessing sin, making atonement, putting things right with God, and for them, actually, sometimes if they wrong somebody else, they put those things right. Those things will lead to blessing. Another side of it is that if you are holy and separated for the Lord, that you make your life wholeheartedly for him, that will lead to blessing. In the song, the blessing, it uses the word amen, and it's not actually used in the blessing. You won't actually find that in the blessing in number 6, but you will find amen in numbers 5, where the priest he's with a woman who's been accused of sin, and he asks her to make an oath in regards to the sin that she's been accused of, and she's then asked to say amen at the end of this oath. And if she's guilty, then it won't be blessing that comes upon her, but a curse. Amen, yes, let it be so. So there's quite a lot of depth behind this song, the blessing, and the actual priestly blessing in number 6. I'll take another example. If you look at the depth and path to God's blessing, I'm sure you'll be blessed. There's a word in that prayer. It's called peace, which is deeper than a parent who might think the kids are in bed, now peace at last. Peace means, includes this: good health, security, inner harmony, wellness, material prosperity, a long life. Peace includes the broad and rich meaning that actually there's holiness that needs to be involved in a person's life if there's going to be blessing. The Israelites understood that their responsibility first and foremost was to love, serve and honor the Lord. And those who do so will be blessed. So we're going to have a bit of an overview of blessing. We're not going to just look at one passage. There's going to be some different things that come in. But hopefully we will get somewhere with this theme on the blessing of God. You'll find the word blessed in both the first and the last chapters of the Bible. It's found throughout every book of the Bible too. There's different contexts. You find national blessing, family blessing, personal blessing, material blessing, spiritual blessing. I'm going to start at the beginning. The first instance of God's blessing is at the beginning of creation, when you read in Genesis. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to it. If not, I'm going to read to you anyway. Genesis 1, verse 22. "And God blessed them, saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth.'" Verse 28. "And God blessed them. God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living creature that moves on the earth.'" You might be familiar with that passage, and we'll perhaps share a little bit more about that in a moment. As this is a monologue, and just speaking to a camera, I'm going to do a little bit of a question and answer. So I'm going to ask a question and then I'm going to answer it myself. So if you find myself speaking to myself, hopefully you can still follow along. What did God bless? Firstly, God blessed animals. All you animal lovers out there, you're going to be chuffed with this one. Animals, whether you like them or not, have multiplied according to the blessing of God. God spoke blessing. Today, we see all around the world that creation is continuing to multiply. There's such variety and beauty, so much so that even now in this day, 2020, we're still finding, I say we, that's a royal we, there's still new species being found around the world because God blessed animals. He caused them to multiply, be fruitful in the earth. Secondly, God blessed mankind to multiply and have dominion over every living creature. Man has certainly multiplied, nearly 8 billion people on the planet today. But there's still quite a bit of mess that in that process that we have made too. I think sometimes animals' downfall is that they live alongside fallen man. When we see the results of COVID and SARS and different diseases that have come where man and animal have been close, but there's some disorder, there's some things that shouldn't be done. And the results are those things that come. But don't think we made this mess all on our own. There's a real devil who seeks to undermine and attack the blessing of God. The story of Genesis, it highlights the devil's role in man's fall. But there's some good news. He's under the feet of Jesus. The devil's days are numbered by the Lord. I sense, and I don't want to get on a tangent, but we need to be aware that in all the midst of what we go through in life, what's happening all around the world at the moment, personally, things we could go through, we don't blame the devil for everything, but nor do we never give him recognition that he's involved in some things that happen. He'll attack the blessing of God. God spoke blessing. He spoke blessing upon multiplication, that man should multiply. And now we live in a day where God made them male and female, where we are in a generation now where we're not even sure if it's just male and female anymore. There's an attack on what God blessed. And if the church doesn't communicate the truth anymore, then how's the world ever going to know what's true and what's wrong? So the devil would love to attack the blessing of God, but we need to know this. He is under the feet of Jesus. Romans 16 verse 20 says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." If there's any Christians listening today and you feel like you're under some attack from the devil, well, know this. He will crush Satan under your feet and he will give you peace. And I pray peace will fill your heart and minds again today. Thirdly, God bless the seventh day, the Sabbath, a day of rest. The reality is we probably don't know in modern day Christianity what it is to have that. Our world, our time frame, the restraints that we have, work, family, we don't have a day of rest like these people knew. But I could say that in Christ there is a new rest. But that's another subject for another time. We don't have time to go into that one. A snapshot of what God blessed. He blessed animals. He blessed man. He blessed the seventh day. Question two, what did man do? Well, fact is he moved out of God's blessing and he brought in a curse. Man brought a curse upon creation. Genesis 3 says, God says, from now on there will be thorns and thistles. There will be hard ground. Romans 8 says that creation is waiting to be freed from this corruption of sin. Verse 22 and 23 of Romans 8, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. There's something that Scripture tells us, that creation is groaning in expectation that there's going to be something to release it from the corruption of sin. Not only creation, but those who have the first fruits of the Spirit. If you're content with the world and everything that this world has to offer, you're probably not in the Spirit. This world doesn't have everything to offer, but thank God for it. But we're passing through. Creation and the children of God are groaning in expectation of the world to come. Man also brought a curse upon himself. Out of the dust, man was made. God breathed life into mankind. But we were created out of dust. But man sinned, fell short of God's standard. So God was like, well, son, from dust you came, to dust you'll go. From dust to dust. He was removed from paradise. No more access to the tree of life. Animals' blood would be shed continually as a reminder of the cost of man's sin. Fallen men and women would be at odds with one another. Women will contend to be number one. Now, I'm not going to talk about equality and everything like that. Daryl can speak about that next week or something. But there is this contention about men and women. And the reality is, men who are at home, if you are in Christ, you won't seek to dominate women. You won't seek to be oppressive or undermining of women. Equally, women, if you're in Christ, you won't seek to usurp or to try and overrule. That when we're in Christ, there's harmony. But when we're not in Christ, there's friction between men and women, between men and men and women and women. There's friction when we get out of the line of God. Man would sweat and labor just to get on in life. Genesis 6, we find God grieved at the wickedness of men's hearts, violence and lust. Romans 1, Paul looks back through history to his present day and he sees how God has given men over to their own desires. If you read Romans 1, it says how men just chose their own things. Make no mistake about this, when we don't walk with the Lord as we should, sin will crouch at the door. If we choose it, we can get it. Thirdly, man tried in his own strength to get God's blessing. This one's slightly different. Abraham received a promise from God, but within that, he tried to gain it through his own timing, strength, and ability. He took Hagar and produced Ishmael. Jacob, the heel grabber, the wrestler, the schemer, the type of person to be the first one up to every altar call, regardless of whether it's relevant to him or not, he would be up there getting prayer. He was someone who always wanted to go for the blessing of God. Nevertheless, in these two examples of men trying to get God's blessing in their own strength, God is good in that Ishmael receives a blessing. Abraham still has a blessing in that Isaac comes along, the son of promise. Jacob's methods may be less than desirable, but he sought the blessing of God and he received it. I want you to know that the mercy and kindness of God is incredible, that God is a God of blessing. Some people get this idea that God just wants to smite them or just wants to afflict them. But God is a God of blessing. And I pray that your revelation of who God is, the God of the Bible, is a God of blessing. He really does want to bless you. Whatever you're going through in your life right now, there is a blessing for you to walk in and to receive personally, materially, in every single area of your life. There is blessing for you to receive if you'll walk in it. So what's our response? Firstly, we need to understand the position mankind is in. Outside of faith in Christ, we are under a curse. Because of that, there are two things that we can do. Repent and have faith towards God. Acts 20, verse 21, testifying of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, a preacher of the gospel, he always sought to bring men to a point of repentance where they turn from their past, turn from their sin, and put their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. In repentance, they will confess their past wrongdoing, but then in faith, they will find forgiveness and are born again. In repentance, they will recognize their weakness, but in faith, they will find strength by the infilling of the Holy Spirit, who we sang about earlier. In repentance, they confess that they have walked in the way of death. Even if their life looked good, if it was in sin, it's still going to lead to death. You can have material blessings in the sense of not just wealth. You could be living a comfortable lifestyle. But as Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? So they confess that they have walked in a way of death, but in faith, they will find that the way of life is in Jesus and in Jesus alone. In repentance, they break off from a sinful world, and in faith, they will enter the kingdom of God. Secondly, we should live with complete focus and faith on Jesus. You need to know that the most blessed one to ever walk upon this earth, he had nowhere to lay his head, nowhere to call home. That's a challenge to me. I thank God for our home, but I have to think that Jesus had nowhere to call home. I believe in material and temporal blessings, but I've avoided that subject because sometimes we can see blessing purely in a temporal means, and it kind of cheapens the subject of God's blessing to just what things are. Things are temporary. This shirt will one day wear out. These products that we're using, you know, technology, things, they wear out. The stuff breaks. Stuff has a mean to an end, but there is something that we can know that is eternal. But it's not things that we see with the naked eye. There's something that our spirit will cling to that is eternal. Christ, he may have lacked material goods, but he had a home with God. At this point in my life, I know which I'd rather have. I thank God for the bricks and mortar that I call home. But if I don't have a home with God, I have a miserable life. You need to realize this. Thank God for your homes. If wherever you're at today, whatever your home is like, if you just rent a room or you have a home, if it's small or large, whatever you're living in, thank God for it. Thank God you have a place to lay your head. But there's another place that you need to have a home with, and that's with God. If you don't have a home with God, you need to make home with him. Jesus said to store up treasure in heaven, not on earth. I want to ask you, in your homes today, are you content with what you have, or do you continually want more? I'm not squashing aspiration, but motivation. What's the motive behind somebody who always wants more? Are you aware of what's eternal? Are you giving time to it? Or are you preoccupied by the things that you see, the things that are temporary? Is your focus and faith on Jesus? If not, what or who is it on? Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? We're more valuable. But Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. God bless these birds. And they're still going. God feeds them. Now, to the morbid or the skeptic, you might say, well, birds of the air, they don't have the pressures we do. They don't live as long as people. They don't have bills to pay. It's all right for them. I came across this little children's poem, song, I'm not sure which, but it's called The Robin and the Sparrow. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Could the growing problem in humanity simply be that we don't look to our heavenly Father? Maybe we just don't know that when we make God our God, it results in blessing. He will bless us with every need. Jesus even stretched it as far as this. If you seek first the kingdom of God, all things will be added to you. I wonder if my life and yours knows the reality of how that works in everyday life. If I will seek first the kingdom of God, my needs will be met. I have to be honest. I want my life to grow closer to Jesus so I know how to trust him completely, that my needs will be met when I seek first the kingdom of God. Listen, this world is going to be anxious. This world will get worse because outside of Christ, we're under a curse. But that does not need to be the same of those who are in Christ. Will we have problems? Yes. Will we have struggles? Yes, we're living in a fallen world. But life can be different when we're in Christ. My life is completely different to how it used to be because I'm now in Christ. So the question progresses to ask, not only could it be that we're not looking to our Heavenly Father, it's also, would we ask this, who's in control of my life? Is it God or is it me? Do I want to be in control or do I want to surrender it? Do you know, that's easier said than done. But it's something we need to do. See, salvation comes at the point where you recognize that your own life, your own efforts, that they don't lead to salvation. It's only by placing our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ that he was given as a sacrifice for our sins. Now, that's not something that you just mentally believe in. That's something you have to come to a point in. It's not just wisdom, it's faith. I was praying this morning, and there's some points where it's not just wisdom that we need, it's faith. If we don't believe God, at some point, faith has to rise, and that comes not out of mere intellect, that comes out of your spirit. The difference between man and animal is that God has breathed his spirit within us. I want you to know blessing on your life, it will come when you surrender control to your Heavenly Father. Not just hope for it, not just pray for it, but you'll have a knowledge and an experience of the blessing of God in everyday life. We started at the beginning in Genesis, and we're going to finish at the end, Revelation 22. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments. I want to suggest to you, if you don't know what his commandments are, that you make it your aim to find out. I'll give you a couple of points which I mentioned earlier. The start point would be this, that you repent from any sin in your life and you put your faith in Jesus Christ. I recognize the things that I did. I reckon the things that I could do. So I have to repent. I have to get right with God. And I place my faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work. Now, this would be a fun topic to go on and preach. Christians, Romans 14, 23, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. That verse always makes me challenged, the context around food and whether you eat it or not, and what food used to be offered to idols and different. But that words come out of, if we don't have faith in our lives, listen, we're supposed to be different. That what separates a Christian from a non-Christian is faith. Faith in Jesus. Now, if we don't do life in faith, then it's sin. So Christians, we need to have faith. There's so much information or misinformation that's going around the world today. Is this true? Is it false? Fake news. What's true? What's false? Is there any absolute truth anymore? Well, the Bible is absolute truth. Now, Christians, if we don't put our faith in the finished work of Jesus, I was speaking with Graham, who's here doing all the PA this morning. I remember at the beginning of lockdown that I found myself on news apps and just being overwhelmed at points at so many information. I knew how many people were dying. I knew how many people were getting infected locally and nationally, globally. I was being overwhelmed by how much information I could take in. But as the news went on and as the reporters began to fill question time, that it began to become more critical or condemning, and it just brought in a whole lot of more, well, what's true? I don't know. So then I have to think, well, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to have faith in this situation. What does God say? What does God say over my life? What does God say that actually will be true of me if I walk in blessing? That my days are numbered by the Lord. So if my days are numbered by the Lord, what should I fear? If my day is going to finish, then it's going to be in God's blessing. God knows when I'm going to end. Listen, I don't have to have fear in life and I don't have fear of death. Why? Because my eternity is secure in Jesus. A number of years ago, I was diagnosed with something called sarcoid. I was in my 20s and all these top surgeons and consultants were coming around scratching their heads before it's diagnosed. And they're thinking, well, we don't know what it is. It could be this. It could be terminal. It could be. And I'm thinking, I just have a fairly newborn baby. I have a wife. Am I going to leave her fatherless? Am I going to leave my wife as a widow? And I had to come to a point on a bed in the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital where I was like, it's one thing to know about healing when you're well. It's another thing to know about healing when you're sick. It's one thing to know about salvation when you're saved. It's another thing to get to that point where you have to place your faith in Jesus Christ to be saved, where faith has to kick in. And it taught me so much. Sometimes when we go through weakness, it's that Christ might be strong. Listen, if you have any weakness in your life, well, there's a point where actually that point of your weakness is where Christ can be made strong. And so if you're going through anything at the moment, Paul put it like this, I'll boast in my weaknesses. That's not sin. That's just things that he was going through, that he might be strong in Jesus. So I mean this with all sincerity. If we're not living the Christian life in faith, then it's not Christianity. Revelation 22:14 continues that we may have right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city. You better believe there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Are you going to see it? This world is passing away, but there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And those who place their faith in Jesus Christ, they're going to see it. They're going to experience it. They're going to enter it. Jesus talks about many mansions. Well, that could be another subject that I'd love to go off and preach on. Abraham, in this world, he experienced wealth and prosperity. He had it. He had it made, as we might say. But he looked to the city whose builder and maker is God. Adam, he lost access to the tree of life. Christ, the last Adam, he has paved a way for us to return. Eternal life isn't just a future state. It can be experienced right here, right now. The blessing of God is in abundance. Creation of mankind is a result of God's blessing. In the very beginning, God spoke blessing for animals and mankind to multiply, and we can see the world in its state today is under God's blessing. We could call that the general blessing of God. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He causes the rain to fall on the unjust and the just. That's a general common blessing. But you need to know there is another blessing for you to receive. But it's for those who give themselves to Jesus Christ. I'm going to leave you this with these kind of questions to consider. Am I going to live in the flesh for temporal pleasure, or am I going to live in the spirit for eternal treasure? Am I going to live for the blessing of God? On one path, temporal pleasure, material things, you don't have any spiritual effort or response required. You just do life. You just live. You just take every day as it comes, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Your body, your mind, and your will, they'll override your spirit man. Your spirit man, in fact, will be dead in sin. You won't be conscious of it. You know, sometimes it might come to the forefront if the grace of God is upon your life, but you'll live just for the temporary. You'll constantly go back on Amazon just to buy more stuff. You'll constantly just be wanting to fill your life with more things. And the stuff is called the Diderot effect. Anne, a lady in our church, once shared it with me. The Diderot effect means this. When you get something new, you get a new pair of curtains, it changes your living room. So then you think, oh, that makes our rug look a bit dull. So then we buy a new rug. Then you buy a new rug, and then it makes your sofa look a bit dull. So you buy a new sofa. And then you get a new sofa, you think, oh, we need to paint the walls. And you paint the walls, and you think, those walls don't look nice. Let's move to a new house. You move to a new house, and you think, it doesn't stop. When you go down this path of stuff, stuff will never satisfy your spirit. You'll always want more. But your spirit man will be dead. So you can live for temporal pleasure, or you can live for eternal treasure, which is another pathway. But this is going to require a daily decision to live towards God. But before you can live towards God, you must die towards sin and submit your body, your mind, your will, your emotions to the Spirit of God. You have to surrender to His Spirit. It will be hard some days because the days that we're living in are difficult. These last days that we're living in. But praise God, we have a helper. I haven't got time to talk about him, but the Holy Spirit is another helper. We have a stream going out on the Oasis Centre page today on YouTube, Oasis Centre Swaffham, talking about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do this life on your own. If you think about walking in the Spirit is too difficult, well, you have a helper. You can't do it in your own strength. Spoke about Abraham. He still received blessing, but he had to yield himself to God. So I pray that you'll know the blessing of God. I pray that something out of this message will have spoken to you and that you'll be able to walk in the blessing of God. Thank you for letting me to share into your life and your homes today. And I pray God will bless you. I pray you'll know the blessing in every area of your life in the wonderful name of Jesus.